Elegant Sea Urchin is an audio drama written, presented, and produced by Swoon as part of the greater Swooncraft Creative. It would be awesome if you shared or supported us. And before the program starts, here's a fact. Orange is the color of hate that gave up, grew old, became jaded, and couldn't be bothered with more than the minimum amount of effort. You, listening, thanks, and enjoy. They said leashes were required, but mentioned nothing about collars. If anyone had caught me and Enzo, or was aware there was anything to catch us for, I wonder if he'd be put down. In no way is he vicious, quite the opposite. Nothing like that bratty Yule Aya's pet rat dog that shivers constantly and jumps and bites at everything in sight. No, Enzo's just hungry, and he'll eat anything if I don't feed him often enough. One might wonder where I found such a faithful companion. It was back behind the mess hall. I decided to take an extended lunch. Maths wasn't doing anything for my future anyways. And I had no answer to what I was planning once I graduated end school. Grandmom thinks I could manage a hazardous materials plant or something, but personally, I still don't know. I do know that the most important day of recent history had that perfect time of noon where the sun shines purple and showers the world in velvet. Everything is cold, and nothing feels like it'll be okay. Ever. Wrapped in that creamy velvet feeling, in the sparkling shade, I suckled softly on a fist of punch with not quite enough kick. I'd hardly eaten any of the wrap that I brought for lunch, but I wasn't craving seaweed like I thought that morning. And that's where Enzo comes in. I felt his steely eyes interrupting my violet shimmering after lunchtime, maw agape, salivating like this was the first time he'd been introduced to edible things. No matter how shaggy his fur was, I could still see the dimples of his ribs and the knots of his leg joints. So I tossed the wrap to him, the limp thing falling apart as it flopped against the ground. Two things happened as I closed my eyes, suckled, and adjusted how I laid. The wrap was gone, all the scattered bits, everything of it vanished, and eclipsing the purple afternoon, Enzo stood over me. Panting, his quivering breath on my face, cold, sticky saliva dribbling on my forehead and cheek. The smell of his mouth was not in my wrap. No seaweed or spicy mayo even hinted in the coal and rotted egg stench that overtook my senses. More than his stink, his piercing silver eyes locked mine like only ferals do. My fist, a punch that didn't have enough kick, finished. I sat up. I hope you enjoyed my lunch, buddy, I told him. Even though I refused to look at him, I could still feel his breath on my arm and against my cheek, only amplified like acid ripping at my skin where his drool was. You look like a thoroughbred lunatic, so good job. I'm gonna go find safety in numbers and actually go to class. I stood with my pack, leaving the depleted fist for the scavenger. I didn't look, but I knew it was already gone. And I knew Enzo was following me. I could feel his bright silver eyes as the purple seventh hour I love so much dithered to pink. That salmon sky with a peculiar blue horizon was the last thing I remember of the day I met Enzo. He's the only thing in my life that stuck around. I kind of hate him. Taking care of him sucks, and I like being alone. In spite of my outward opinion of him, something's just right about Enzo, though. Nothing like what I remember of Pop and Mum. Uncle Kay is there for me, and Grandmum teaches me all the things a lady needs to know for life that the institution keeps to themselves in their grandest homes behind their strongest bloodstone seals. Uncle Kay and Grandmum don't object to me having Enzo either, so I couldn't tell him to stay away for any excuse like that. The Waves broadcast caught my attention. Bring your pet to the grand opening, Treat Your Terror Pet Shop. We have everything a pet's chosen one needs, from food bowls, chew toys, food, collars, rune lock cages, you name it. If we don't have it, well, your pet probably doesn't need it. Come this weekend with your sole companion to the grand opening off I-363 near the South Mesa Mall. Leashes required. How perfect, I thought. I have this gray shaggy thing following me. Maybe I can make myself happy by making it happy by taking it to this new pet wonderland. Before the week break and the grand opening, there was an incident at one of the doorball games. Yes, even solo souls like myself show up to school games sometimes. The sky was tangerine over the field, the buffers were guarding their thresholds while the flashers and kickers strived for points. The teams were cheered and harassed, ours a little more than theirs, and like always, we broke out into chorus when blood was spilled. The stands were littered with the usual crowd, faculty, students, magenta afterimages of the alternate dimension close to ours with several people in seconds off, parents and scouts from the government looking to sweep away any promising talent. And the blue lights of the field were flickering on when Henry Bonilla made his usual sexual advances at the preps in the stands. A lot of people have the impression that he wants to be laid with the hot girls on campus when he actually wants an orgy with all of them, girls and guys, and for them to hate him the whole time. Much like they already do, just naked. It's common sense if you're paying attention. And you might be wondering, what was this incident then, Faye? Everything as it's always been, I hear you muttering under your breath. Enzo's intuition led him to search after Vanilla shrank away from being ridiculed once again. I followed my gray-eyed, swine-snouted hound as it rounded the bleachers, huffing and snorting through the untamed weeds and bramble, some vanishing along the way when I would look away to the dying light of the horizon. The usual despair of a tomorrow filled me as I gazed at the bleak skyline. Like most of us, I wished I could die with the day. Enzo led us around the gym to the locker rooms. There I caught a hint of the sugar and powder stench that Enzo was obviously following, and then I witnessed Bonilla jerking off on some of the doorball players and cheerleaders' underclothes. My romantic desire to die with the day ended. Fuck the day, I prayed I could drop dead before my mind was subject to more. I left for the grand opening of the Treacher Terror's pet shop after the cloudy purple shine. This strange azure on the horizons has been bothering me all week. Our skies aren't blue. They never have been. Is it an effect of Enzo, or are all the claims of not enough pollutants really changing our world? Leash securely tucked in my pack, Enzo walked a few paces ahead of me. The shop wasn't as big as I expected, its architecture not traditionally sharp angles and tiered. It was rounded and rather squat. I waved for the entrance runes to open, but after a few moments I realized there were no runes. Enzo and I were simply inside. It was dim with a looming largeness where light faded to what felt like infinite nothing. There were registers before us, shelves lining aisles leading back into the darkness. It smelled like sawdust and dog food and coal. The coal might have been Enzo. For the first time since he found me, he touched me, pressing his shoulder against my thigh. He was warm, and that surprised me. "Greetings," I heard an afterimage say. Since I was a little girl, they'd been trying to ban interactions between dimensions. It's all over my head, but Uncle K says scientists are afraid our worlds could merge, ruining the climate and borders, claiming buildings, cities, and lakes will appear where other lakes, buildings, and cities are merging and causing a chaos unknown to our existence. The person before me winked in and out, various shades of reds and pinks swirling like a mist as his essence tried to stay in my reality. When I could see him, he had a pleasant smile. His face was wrinkly, and that concerned me. Some of our lessons in first school said age used to change us, warp the body after the 30s. But we stopped that long before I came along.
"Is that your pet?"
He was looking at Enzo. Sort of, I replied. I explained the circumstances and said, so I figured I'd get him some stuff. He seemed to be looking over my shoulder at my pack, and several moments later, when he opened his mouth, he winked out of my experienced universe before any sounds left his lips. Enzo huffed through his snout and moved forward. With a handbasket, I followed and looked through the list I'd made. Food dish, claw clippers, brush, pet soap, chew toys, pet bed. I wasn't sure if Enzo wanted or needed chew toys, and it didn't matter. His first priority was food. His nose led us down the aisle furthest from where we entered. Rounding the end cap, a lady blinked before us, transparent, plump, gleeful, and rosy. As she asked if she could help us find anything, she pulled a treat bar from her apron and handed it to me. I stared at the thing. Where it touched my palm, I felt a cool roughness and could swear the transparent magenta was trying to turn a solid oaken hue. "We're fine, thank you," I said before she vanished. Handing the treat bar to Enzo, I looked at the packs of pet food. "Enzo, let's grab this last. They're like 3 to 10 kilos each." Enzo stared at me with his steely eyes, but I rolled mine and moved on to the next aisle. It wasn't until several minutes later, and I had gathered everything that wasn't heavy, when I realized Enzo wasn't with me. I stood confused. He had just picked out a blue plush cart from the toy aisle.
"I told you leashes were required!"
I jumped at the man's sudden appearance and tone. "Freeze it, mister." I reached into my pack, pulled out the leash that was kind of hanging out, and shrugged.
"Go get your dog and get—"
The red vapor around him as he vanished only seemed to amplify the anger he was showing. I hurried to the food aisle, furthest from the door. "Enzo?" When I turned the corner, I saw my companion laying on the floor, content, licking his lips. The aisle was empty. "My foulest eldritch god. I don't curse often, forgive me." "Enzo, get up," I commanded. His eyes were like stars in a black sky, especially under the dim lights of Treasure Terror Pet Shop. Enzo moved to my side, and we went to the counter. The two employees I'd met blinked into my perceived reality and were talking at once. A third man appeared. All were asking what would be done about most of their stock gone. I stammered. They blinked in and out. I shouted. Fragments of their words and elevated voices pierced the veil between our worlds. Enzo howled, a cacophony that rattled all of us to silence. The next moment, Enzo and I were outside, under a tangerine sky. And there was no Treasure Terror Pet Shop in the empty lot with weeds and vines growing from the cracked pavement. No squat buildings with its round, non-angular architecture. Just a rusted fence and trash collecting against it. We ran home. I was shaking, and Grandma and Uncle Kay gave me queer glances as I hurried to my alcove. I could hardly breathe and I felt numb, but so alive. Then I realized I still had the basket and everything I'd gotten for Enzo. He sat patiently, head cocked, twinkling eyes on mine. I laughed. I gave him his car plush and called down the corridors. "Grandma, can you pick up food for Enzo next time you're out?" We kept everything, the handbasket and its logo, the only reminder that the pet shop had ever been. Until sometime that evening, when I wasn't looking, it vanished into the ether. Bizarre as it is, since that day I haven't basked in the bleakness of our world. A life companion, huh? This is a re-recording of episode 1. The following episodes are the original recordings. Give them time. The quality will ramp up again, I promise.